As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Seven, one of Down to Dunk. You can find us on The Athletic and anywhere else you subscribe to your podcasts. Go to theathletic.com/downtodunk and get The Athletic for $3.99 a month. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also, go to shopgoodokc.com/downtodunk for some merch. I am Luke, joined this morning by Andrew.
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. Woo!
Slam through.
Taylor.
Hello. When I was a kid, my mother told me I could be anyone I wanted to be. Well, turns out identity theft is a crime. Born in the USA, I was born in the USA. Chili.
Chili.
And Jay.
It's Jay.
Taylor, the part about that's what Taylor. You go, hello.
Hello.
You sound like
Luke. I feel like you missed a chance with Andrew's new intro music to do some Godzilla noises on top
true.
Of that as you got James going.
Got to add them. It's going to make everything better. But Taylor sounded like the guy from the Men in Black.
Oh, sugar water. Sugar. Andrew, what's going on tomorrow? What should we be looking for?
Hey, subscribe. I've lost my voice just to start. We've been talking for like 45 minutes.
It's a good way to talk. It's a good way to start your new podcast.
And now I can't talk.
Horse voice.
Yeah, starting a new show on the Athletic NBA show. It's called Saturday Slam and Jam. It's with me and Al Baby Cakes. And our first guest will be Fred Katz. Talking Zards.
Whoa.
It's the perfect week to talk Zards. We planned it last week, and it's just been the perfect Zards week through and through. So tune in. It'll be live in your feed Saturday morning early. So
what are your Zards points y'all are going to talk about? We could just talk about them today.
Right. Let's just do the whole pod right here. No, we're really excited. Should be fun show.
And you have to, it's a unique podcast link. Or is it part of the NBA show?
It's a part of the Athletic NBA show. So if you're already subscribed to that, it'll come right to your feed. If you haven't, do it. It's a great show anyways. Lots of really good stuff on there.
Let's check out the chat. If you're following us over there, make sure you subscribe us. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe. You can comment there, and it also shows up where we're at here. We've got Yoni Kroll from Israel, Jamie Akar, if I mispronounce anything, just apology, from Mexico. Who else we got? We got Paul Gray from Cleveland. We got, I'm going to mess it up again, Aniruddha from India. Thank you all for joining us here. Jay is checking in after a long day of exams.
Mm. Oh, wow. Where
and
are you, Jay?
69, I'm assuming from Mars.
Yeah. Tuning in from Mars. Big shout out. So the Thunder won in spectacular fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Just a wonderful game.
Lou Dort hit that three in the corner. That was so much fun. It went down, and then he falls to the ground.
It was amazing.
It was the perfect, everything was perfect about it. The way he fell was perfect. The way the team went and jumped on him was just, it was picture perfect moment.
Al Horford was so happy. That was one of the best fist pumps. That may be the best fist pump in the NBA since the Jordan fist pump.
It's hard to disagree.
Oh my God. He was so happy.
Al Horford said in the post game that it felt like March Madness. Like it felt like a college end of the game shot. And I don't know, man, this is, that team clearly enjoys being together and is pulling for one another, which is awesome. Like that's one of the things that a lot of people are worried about with the team that is positioning themselves for the rebuild, the way that the Thunder are, is how that impacts, shapes the culture. And it feels like, and this is why guys like Al Horford are so important. Until we move them very quickly, please and thank you. But until then, it's like these are the guys that help make sure that the culture is healthy and is going to be sustainable for the long run. Because eventually this gets passed over and you already see it. Like I enjoyed watching Shea in the games that he wasn't playing, sitting on the sideline and still hyping up his players.
He's into it, yeah.
You can tell he really, and I think Andrew, I don't remember when you said this, but one of the question marks about Shea is whether or not he had the attitude or the mentality to be the number one guy. And pretty clearly this year, we're seeing that he wants it and is really so far thriving in that.
No doubt.
But man, it was just an incredible game. He had 42 points, super efficient. And I don't know, man. And I'm just super impressed with what he is bringing to the floor. Night in and night out. And this team they're not going to make noise as far as the playoffs. Like I can still say that with a lot of confidence, even looking at the second half of the schedule. Right. But what you're seeing is a lot of those things that are, could be long-term indicators of success for this franchise, which is the exciting part of it. So, and Dort, man, it was awesome.
So I was looking at the doc for this podcast and the old one loaded up. It was like from episode 950. And so it took me so long this morning at 5:30 a.m. to realize that these were old questions. So I was like, these are such weird questions in the context of where the season's at right now. But one of the questions was, and this was back a couple weeks ago, we answered this too. But one of the questions was, would you trade SGA for the number one pick straight up, theoretically?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so somebody asked it again. Somebody asked it again yesterday too.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, I didn't put it in the doc, but somebody did ask it.
Well, I just thought that would be an interesting thing to go over again at this point, because I even think how we view SGA and what his play's been since that point is different now.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think the overwhelming answer was, yes, we would trade Shea for the number one pick. Mm-hmm. And now I'd just be interested. What do you guys think now?
Andrew said no, actually. Alex had this conversation.
Oh,
I don't.
Really?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's very risky.
Yeah,
I mean, I think we know Cade Cunningham's going to be good, but
yeah,
everybody thought Markel. Oh my gosh,
it's guys, like really gone.
It's really gone. Andrew. Markel Fultz. Everybody thought Markel Fultz was going to be, like the man.
Yeah,
and Fultz, like that's the scary part is you don't really know.
Yeah, you know, when I was watching that last play, the one thing I was thinking about, this would make a fine mommy.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Top Shot.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing is, everyone hop on this. Moments on Top Shot, you have to start calling them mommies because it makes talking about Top Shot 100 times better.
Yeah.
It's like, think about this. Oh, I just got three great mommies. I love my rare mommy I got.
It's just so funny.
It's really.
Yeah, it makes
really
me feel good. Uncomfortable.
What?
But I will say this about that game is, or that conversation about Shea and Cade Cunningham, is I've always just kind of owned the fact that I default towards the known quantity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's just my default. And I think it also depends on where you land. If the Thunder land in the top 10, but if they land in the top 10 in the sense of like 8 and 10, it starts to get complicated. I think the Thunder can move 8 and 10 and get higher. I think they could get 5, 4. But I think the question, I can't wait for Andrew to get back. I'm assuming he's getting some hot tea.
No, he's in the kitchen.
He's hacking up a lung.
He sounds like he's dying in there trying to fix his voice.
You guys okay? Everybody okay?
Yeah,
but it's one of those things, like part of the conversation for me is whether or not, and I'll just kind of maybe drag this out until Andrew gets his headphones back on, but whether or not Shay is developing to the level where, and Cade is the transcendent piece, where Cade plays next to Shay. They're going to be very similar, actually, in what they bring to the floor. Mm-hmm. But they can both switch one. Shay's 1-2. He can guard some threes. Cade can guard all the way down to the small forward position. But the question I would have is if you do get 4 and 8.
Yeah.
And you're saying with Shay and 4, you could get 1. I'm saying no on that. But at 4 and 8, do you start? And it's pretty clear at that point that most point guards, but I'm wondering, like, has Shay become enough of a known quantity where earlier in the season we were just saying take the best available regardless of position? Yeah. Do you start to look to position out with your draft picks a little bit more?
No.
You still just draft best available?
Yes.
Yeah. Also, Jay, imagine this. Imagine we drafted Shay, 3 seasons ago with the number 1 overall pick. Would you be happy with his development at this point?
Yeah.
I would too, right? Mm-hmm. If you think of it that way, like, oh, well, okay, why would I trade for a number 1 that I don't know how they're, like what you were talking about. Like, Shay is the known quantity. And I feel like if he was our number 1 overall draft pick, we'd be pretty happy with how this is going so far, especially considering the team that's around him.
Yeah. Well, and we'll get to this, and maybe this is a good transition to it where we can talk about it, is Sam Vecenie's rankings of young players, and he's got the top 10. He released it, and there's one guy in this whole top 10 that was selected number 1. Only one. It's Zion. He's number 3 on this list. Everybody else: Luka, top 5 pick.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum, top 5 pick. Bam and Donovan Mitchell are your guys that are in the back half of the lottery. Trae Young in top 5, LaMelo top 5, Ja top 5, De'Aaron Fox top 5, De'Aaron Jackson top 5, and then Shay is also in the back. So there's 3 out of the out of these 11 players that I just listed that are outside the top 5.
Yeah.
But only one that was selected number 1.
Right.
Which is just
an encouragement.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think is so important about Shay is that that season, I think, with CP3 was so
huge,
important for him to learn what a certain type of leadership looks like, and for him to incorporate that into like leading this team now that Chris Paul's gone and having Al Horford. I mean, they've done a very, very good job of maintaining the Thunder identity. Mm-hmm. And I think that trading away someone that you have invested that type of leadership into is a mistake, because he can be now, for the guys that we're drafting here next year, over the next 3 years, he can be that type of leader that can instill them the values that the Thunder really appreciate and want as a part of their culture.
Yeah. That said, if they think Cade Cunningham is Tim Duncan, they will trade Shay.
Yeah.
They will. They will absolutely do it. Because I think they think that Cade could be that. I don't know about that evaluation. I don't know if the Thunder think that. I don't know if I think that, you know, personally. I wouldn't do it because I think it's a risk. But if you do think that
scared Cade money does not make any.
Yes. If you think that Cade can be a top 10 player of all time type of guy, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You do it.
I just wonder. So here's the dilemma for me is looking at this is if I'm Sam Presti and you have this just war chest of assets.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that, mm-hmm. but you also feel confident in what you're currently kind of constructing, I think, and it's going to be hard. It's still really hard, almost impossible, if not impossible, to get that one pick, especially with a guy like Cade.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that way about Cade, you like Shay, you like the current construction, they could supercharge this real quick if they were like, all right, we're going to give four future firsts or whatever from our war chest to get the one. And then we're going to get the one and the seven. And between those two guys, we feel like we're going to get, you know, whoever it is. If you want to say it's Zaire Williams, or you want to say it's Scotty Barnes and Cade and Shea and Dort and Poku, maybe develop. Like, if you feel like you go all in one draft and you're already a year and a half or 2 years ahead of your plan, your timeline, then I don't know. I don't know if that's something that Sam would do. Like, I think that we've been talking about what you do with this, and we've been continuing to look like, well, eventually you throw those at the disgruntled star, you know, when Kat eventually is like, okay, I'm tired of losing. Maybe that's who it is, which I'm not sure we ever want to do that. But we've always talked about it that way. But is there a way for them to invest that capital that they've acquired into moving up into a position? And I really don't think if the Wolves get Cade, they're not trading the number one pick. But maybe, is there a way that maybe they could throw some of that capital?
It just depends on, I mean, I don't know. Also, it depends on the organization. I mean, honestly. I mean, the you have to remember, like, the Celtics tried to trade three picks to get Justice Winslow. And they said no.
Yeah, that was a mistake for the Miami Heat or whoever it was that he went to.
Yeah, it was a blessing in disguise for the Celtics that that didn't happen.
Although Boston never did anything with those picks, but yeah.
And Jay, also, I was thinking about, you said, like, what if we get a year or two ahead of schedule, or what we expect to be, how long this team's going to be trying to build up the good young players. I think that Presti would take advantage of that and start going forward. I think he would go for it this time, because I think he's learned from the past when he thought, well, like the Harden trade, hate to bring it up, but I think he's learned from that to be like, I'm not going to ever trade away young players that could be the guys ever again, or too early again. And so I think he would go for it. I mean, can you imagine if he hit this again? If this draft, we get two picks and he hits two guys that are, you know, top 10, top 20 players in the NBA potentially.
I kind of disagree with you about that being what he learned from the Harden trade. Because I think what he learned more was from Durant leaving and us getting nothing from him, is that he's saying, I'm going to trade guys when they still have value and work with them. Trading, you know, Russell Westbrook, trading everyone that we've traded, saying, like, I'm going to do it while there's still value and not let anyone just walk away.
I agree with that, but Harden would have still had value 4 years later.
You know, but also, it's pretty clear that
he learned both things.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
It's pretty clear the organization also really thought Kevin Durant was staying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to look at that in hindsight and be like, well, they should have traded him and got whatever they could, you know, which, I mean, Harrison Barnes and Iguodala or whatever. But it, for me, is it's like they clearly operated because of what they were being told with the assumption that Kevin Durant was coming back.
Sure.
Yeah, they just didn't know they were working with a liar.
Yeah, we learned more about Kevin Durant on that day, on that July 4th, than we had ever known about him before.
But going back to what is actually affecting who we are right now, is I do think that what I'm, and I don't know a ton, but I'm just watching what I'm watching what I'm watching, and I'm hearing what I'm hearing, is that this draft has the potential to have a few guys in the top 10 to really start the transformation of your franchise. And that's the reason for me, is like, do you see in the second half of the season some more intentional repositioning, in the sense of like, well, Shea's going to sit for a week and we're going to, I think they're going to get rid of Al and George Hill. Like, I think that's pretty clear. The Clippers and George Hill, there's too much smoke for that not to be some sort of, like, I think Mark Spears mentioned it in a conversation, not as intel, but as much as like, that just makes a ton of sense. You look at Al Horford, like the Boston TPE is one of the things, but I just think that they're going to start doing some, maybe looking at doing some repositioning in the next half of the season to really give them the best chance they can to be in the top three.
Yeah. I agree. I think this will be the opposite of like the Westbrook 2017 team was kind of hanging on and hovering around 500, and then they traded for Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott. This will be the opposite of that situation, where they are trading away guys like Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott to help other teams. And they're going to be one of the only teams selling. I mean, the Cavs would love to trade Andre Drummond. That probably won't happen unless it's to the Knicks. And then the Thunder are one of the only other teams that's selling. Everybody else wants to get into the play-in. Everybody else wants to have success today. So the Thunder, I think part of the reason that they're waiting is because they know at the trade deadline, they could actually get some stuff for these guys. Like trade deadline day, like I would not be surprised for Mike Muscala to go for 2 second-round picks again. I would not be surprised to see George Hill go for a decent first-round pick. I wouldn't be surprised to see Al Horford get dealt to somebody. Even the Knicks, again, I think the Knicks are buying. And I think they have a unique opportunity to even sell him to the Knicks because the Knicks have $17 million in cap space already. And then they just have to deal basically one other additional player and an asset to get him. Mm-hmm. So I'm intrigued to see what they can get for all of these players because I do think that they're uniquely positioned to reap the rewards of this unique trade deadline.
Trade deadline is such a low production day at work.
Oh, yeah.
Productivity just craters.
They should have trade mommies on Top Shot. Trade like, mommies. Yeah, remember this trade as a moment.
There's no video to play.
What do you mean?
There's no moment.
Yeah, it's like a Sports Center.
You just have Stephen A. talking about the trade.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'm into that.
Oh, that'd be actually, that's a really good idea.
I just created millions of dollars worth of
mommies.
Oh my God.
Taejon's back toy bigger in victory. Taejon's back toy bigger in victory.
Hello, Taejon back toy bigger in victory. Brad Stevens to at Zoe. Oh Brad Stevens said this to at Zoe and Bertrand on the Celtics' recent struggles. I was just telling my wife I had a root canal and my identity stolen last week, and I think those were two of my I can't read. I had a root canal. I had a root canal and my identity stolen last week, and I think those were two of my better days in the last 8 days. The Celtics are struggling, boys.
They've been so bad.
They've been really bad. So, one, I have three questions actually out of this. One, do you think the Celtics will figure this out? We'll just start there because this won't take long.
They need Marcus Smart tremendously. Yeah. They've lost a ton of depth. I don't think that they will, quote unquote, figure it out this season. I don't think they're going to use the TPE until the summer. And so, no, I think they'll lose in the first round and then try again next year.
Wow.
If you didn't, Andrew, you'll have to tell me where it was. I think it was the NBA show or the Daily Dean, but Andrew and a few guys that I can't remember off the top of my head went on a long dive on Boston Celtics. What was that show? Which one was that?
It was the Daily Ding from
Daily Ding
yesterday.
So listen to it. But yeah, it does not make me feel super confident that they're going to figure it out for this year.
Okay, question number... Luke, do you have an opinion on will the Celtics figure this out?
I agree.
Okay, number two, is a root canal really that bad? Because I haven't gone to the dentist in like 5 years, so I'm expecting one.
Have you had a root canal before?
No, never had one.
Here's the thing. I think that like root canals are a thing where like if you have one, then you'll have like five in your life.
Depends on what tooth it is, too. If it's a molar, you're probably fine. They'll numb you up, and it's just not fun sitting there. I had root canals in my front teeth, my two front teeth, and It was misery.
Why?
I knocked them out when I was in the third grade. Fell down, knocked them out.
Ugh. Gosh.
I've never had one.
So they have to make a canal in the root of your tooth?
So I've had one. They hollow it out and they
canal
your
root.
They remove the root.
They send a little boat, the tiniest little boat,
a little dentist
down the
boat.
Canal.
It's a very magic school bus situation.
It is.
I've had one and it's not, mine was not that hard. It was a molar. So that's what Andrew just said.
Mm-hmm. Is there any healing time?
Yeah. I mean, just like anything else.
You'll probably be fine in 48 hours.
48 hours? I don't have that kind of time. All right. Question number three. If you could steal
something. You need to go to the dentist, Taylor, by the way. Just go to the dentist. Figure that out.
You pay for it then. Number three. If you could steal someone's identity, whose would you steal? And not just financial identity, but I mean socially. Like, you could have their lives.
Do I acquire their skills?
You can acquire their skin if you want.
Is it weird? Or is this like a Freaky Friday? This is a Freaky Friday situation.
This is a Freaky Friday situation.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just so
Freaky Friday situation. A pretty good one would be Leonardo DiCaprio, because I think all he does is make movies and then gets fat and hangs out with models when he's not doing movies.
Uh-huh.
And he's super rich.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a pretty good one.
He is super rich.
That's a really good
one. He just hangs out on like beaches and just looks like he's gotten kind of fat.
Yeah.
But yeah. And no one cares because he's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, then he turns it on and he like loses weight and then he just knocks it out of the park. He's made zero bad movies.
Is that true?
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
They're all really, really good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Andrew?
Zion Williamson.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fun.
I would love to know what it's like to be that big and be able to jump that high.
I think you would
And plus, I would go to the coach and say, hey, please make me a good defender.
Yeah.
And then I'd become a great defender. And then I would be the MVP next year.
MPP.
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 I'd be third in the MPP voting.
J-Mon. It would be. I also think.
Third in the MPP voting.
For my pick, I believe that Leonardo DiCaprio can also dunk.
Oh, okay. So you can be someone else and also give them whatever skills and attributes. Well,
if he can make Zion a good defender, I can make Leonardo DiCaprio dunk.
No, he's just going to use his day as Zion to go tell the coach, hey, I want to be a good defender. And then when he leaves his body, then it sets Zion on a better path.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's making good decisions for Zion. I'm as trying Zion, to help Zion, he will not take advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what Andrew? I'm doing. That's correct.
Okay. Jay, you got an answer?
Yeah. I was thinking about this from, I don't know, just kind of my own personal experience is kind of like a Tom Hanks guy, just in the sense that to be somebody that is universally loved is something that would be pretty awesome to experience.
Oh, Jay, we love you.
Come on, Jay.
I know. Hey, listen, this is not, I'm not trying to speak my woundedness out here into the world, but what I'm saying is just somebody that like clearly everybody like, is there, you know, anybody that just like, that Tom Hanks guy, what a arrogant jerk.
Nope. I do. Because there are some people that think there's some stuff out there that people don't like about him that I think is conspiracy theory related.
Ooh. Oh,
it's QAnon people.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
So not universally, Jay.
Yeah, not universally, but from people that you respect their opinion of, yes. So my person would be Jeff Bezos, and I would start giving away his money because this is too far. I want to be every billionaire, and I want to save the world for a day. And then I'll come back as Taylor. And then, but
you've secretly given Taylor some money too.
Oh yeah. But I won't be, I won't be a billionaire too long that I become a corrupted soul. Yeah. So if I could just be a billionaire, then I could do all the things that I think I would do as a billionaire.
Step
right
up
now.
And be like, I want to give Taylor Dickerson in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, $27 million.
Okay, but here's a question. What happens to the soul of the person that we are being for a day? Is it just drifting in?
No, it goes into our body.
The cosmos?
I think they're doing something in your body.
Okay, so Jeff, Leonardo DiCaprio is in Luke's body.
Uh-huh. Leo becomes a divorce attorney. Uh-huh. Zion Williamson
would be a killer divorce attorney.
He would be.
I know.
He would be very good. Zion Williamson becomes a podcast producer and host.
With three little sons.
With three sons. Just here at home all day.
You're going to switch back into your body and he's going to have shaved your head bald.
I would hope that he would just be transported to your body as you're making something. And he's instantly there.
And he immediately turns Craig Proper into a $10 million business.
See, that's another thing he could... That's an added benefit is that he sees it and he's like, I know exactly how to make this replicable. To the nth degree.
That's so true.
And then you get transported back and you just have this giant business, millions of dollars.
I need Jeff Bezos to be me for a day so I can learn how to scale.
Boom. Yes.
Boom.
It's the ultimate scaler.
All right.
Okay. You did it. You win, actually. Perfect. All right.
Hey, John's back to it bigger in victory.
All right, guys, it's time for Luke's online deep dive. Guys, I just sent you a picture, and this is what my deep dive is about.
Okay, let me pull up my phone.
This is great news. I'm very excited when I saw this. Sonic, yes. America's Drive-In, and Coop Aleworks have entered into an agreement that is what they're going to do is they're making hard seltzer, like a hard seltzer alcoholic drink with Sonic flavors. They're going to have two different packs from what I've seen, a citrus pack and a tropical variety pack. So citrus and tropical. The citrus has lemon berry, classic lemonade, cherry limeade, and original limeade.
Wow.
And the tropical has orange pineapple, mango guava, ocean water, and melon medley. And this is like
fire.
Something that I saw and I was like, well, I immediately have to have this.
Yeah.
It comes out March 1st.
Okay.
And so Monday it's happened. They're going to be out. And I mean, this to me is like the perfect marriage of two things. And like, I know that like Sonic is not just going to like, yeah, just put it in and like have it be terrible. It's like, I bet a ton of testing went into this to make sure it was really good.
I was just thinking about that. If it's red, if it's going to be in the world March 1st, that means this has been a project for a while. Because that's eight flavors. That's a lot of flavors to figure out.
And I think I'm going for,
citrus pack first.
See, I'm going tropical.
Really?
That ocean water, I think, could be very good.
Yeah. Man.
The only thing, if you have children and they just see a Sonic drink
that's the thing
in their fridge,
they're
going to crack that thing open.
That looks so refreshing.
Be really careful. I don't have to be as careful because I have no children, but it's going to be good.
It's a great idea.
I think these are going to be flying off the shelves.
Are they the first kind of fast food restaurant to go into the alcohol world?
I was thinking about that too, because they had, you know, Sonic had that thing where it was like a Red Bull slush.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, wink, wink, here's a Red Bull slush. It's like, add alcohol to this.
Yeah.
And I was like, in the commercials, like, it was pretty like saying like, oh, this is great. Like, you should like.
And it was during summer too.
It was during summer. Yeah. And it was like just heavily implied like, hey, you can pour some alcohol in this and it's really good.
Yeah.
So I think Sonic has realized like, hey, we have.
Chad have some Sonic RBVs?
No, I always thought I was going to, but I never did. Because RBVs make me feel terrible.
Yeah. I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure out why.
Yeah. But the Sonic drinks available Monday.
It's a good idea.
Gonna try to find some.
Yeah.
It's high on my list.
Are going to be on queue. These are going to be, I can see them everywhere now.
You know what they said whenever they're like, we have to have this out by spring break.
Absolute. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. See, this will be the spring break drink.
I saw that it increased Coop's production by three.
Wow.
Oh, threefold. Yeah.
Well, they've got Sonic's backing.
By three. By
three whole drinks more.
Yes.
They made three packs. They're hoping to sell
them. They went from making 2,000 beers a day to 2,003.
The other thing is at my house, like two doors down, I have a new neighbor who.
If I go crazy, then you still got me Superman.
My neighbor who lives two doors down drives, you know, a car that is wrapped in like Coop stuff. Like it's a Coop car.
Okay.
Like, he works for him.
Yeah.
I haven't met him. I really
won't. Or he's just a big fan. I don't know which.
Huge fan of Coops.
I think he works there. However, I need to meet him to figure that out and then try to get some free beverages.
Yeah, yeah. It's shocking you haven't made that connection yet.
Hey, you.
Hey, you're the only neighbor I've introduced myself to. It has nothing to do with anything I've seen about you.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool, yeah. Dave.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now we're back from that break.
And we're back.
Hey, let's ask some Twitter questions.
Twitter questions! Our first Twitter question comes from @SoDangClose, who wants to know, if you had to choose to only keep one between Dort and Bazley, who would it be and why?
Dort.
Dort has the higher floor, certainly. I think it's certain that he is an NBA starter. I do not feel that way about Baze. I think that he could get there. I think that he could. I mean, Bazley has a higher ceiling than Dort does because of his size and position. Like, he's going to be a wing. He's going to be a 3-4. And if he can put the shooting together, he's going to be a good player. But we have seen that he does have a certain floor that could put him as like a fringe rotation type of guy for his career. But who knows what he'll be.
Whenever anyone says higher floor or lower floor, I always think my mind goes straight to pelvic floor for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It is a floor.
It is a floor, but it is one of the floors. Lou Dort's pelvic floor. It's pretty high.
I'll bet you it's a really solid pelvic floor.
Taylor, I never know what you're going to say.
Me neither.
I really appreciate it because I've never thought that would be.
I don't know why my mind goes there.
I love it.
Yeah,
cool.
Jay, what do you think about pelvic floors?
How's yours? You giving that thing a tap down there recently? You checked solidity.
Zach Traver says three Dorts down.
Oh yeah,
you know Dort has been. They've been.
What's up, Zach?
One of the guys at Barstool Sports has talked about him and really likes him. Has nicknamed him. Yep. The Dortcher Chamber.
Yeah, there's been lots of people that have added me about that.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah, we know Big Cat likes Dort. Okay, we know.
It's a big endorsement.
I'm not big endorsement.
The
endorsement. Jay, you didn't voice your opinion on this. I'd like to hear it.
No, he said Dort.
I know.
But no, you. Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. Like, Baisley, I'll just be honest, like he's been underwhelming for the most part this season.
Moses Brown or Baze, Jay?
Oh, Baisley, without question. Oh,
okay, all right. I just want to know where.
So, but Baisley, you're right. Like Baisley has the highest potential, and to get a 6'9", 6'10" guy that can, in theory, do what he does. But he's just, you're seeing it from Dort. And I said this earlier talking about Shea is I think I'm always a known quantity guy over a potential guy, except for apparently when it comes to Pokuševski. But other than that is I'm definitely in the ballpark or in the game of like, I mean, I know what Dort is and I know that he's going to continue to be what he is and probably get better. And for Baisley, there's just too much unknown. And I still, that doesn't mean like, I'm not still high on what Baisley could be. It just as if I had to choose between the two, it's pretty clear for me, Dort.
Mm-hmm. High on your Baze supply.
Hey, guys. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @Austin_35. Who wants to know, what can the Thunder learn from the Celtics about what not to do when you have a ton of picks?
I love this question. And probably because I just finished listening to that podcast. I think this is just the weird tension that you live in as far as having all the assets you do, is expecting draft picks to turn out the way that you're assuming they will. Because you look at the two picks, and you'll have to correct me on this, Andrew, but I think it was the Kings pick and the Grizzlies pick. And Boston was holding on to those like they were going to be top five picks because every indicator was that they probably would be.
Yeah, definitely.
But instead they both became 14th picks. And so it's one of those things is you just have to be nimble. Danny Ainge, I think the constant complaint against Danny Ainge is just how he sits and doesn't, like, they haven't made an in season trade since Isaiah Thomas.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he just has this, well, we were possibly in on the Paul George trade. And you're like, if you're a team like that and you're thinking, I could trade this Kings pick for Paul George, that may be a lesson you can learn, where it's like, pull the trigger. The known quantity in moments like that is more important than the potential. Because now they have Romeo Langford and I don't even know who the other pick was.
Yeah. It's really tough because what if that does become a top five pick? What if they had Ja Morant on that team, or something like that? I mean,
yeah,
it is a very, very difficult decision as a GM because they have experienced the other side of the coin too, where they have lost three core members of the team in Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, and Gordon Hayward. Yeah. And gotten nothing back. That to me has been the death nail of them, is that they have lost all three of those guys without getting anything in return.
If it's true that they had an opportunity to get Miles Turner and Doug McDermott for Gordon Hayward, that is like a fireable offense to me.
Yeah, because will they get better than that with the TPE?
No.
I think they are holding on for hope that they can get somebody in the offseason. And I don't know, like Aaron Gordon could be the guy. And who do you like better, Aaron Gordon or Miles Turner? Like, I don't know. Like, positionally, I probably like Aaron Gordon a little bit better.
Miles Turner, to me, makes a lot more sense with Jaylen Brown and Tatum, though.
Yeah, they're maybe.
So here's another hard thing for me is Danny Ainge they've got a weird window. Kimball Walker is clearly towards the downhill of his career.
Yeah, he's struggling.
Just injury-wise.
There's rumors he's going to be traded.
Yeah.
Yeah, but which what value does he have? And so for me, it's like Jason Tatum and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are they're clearly your future. But you also have a window that's kind of more now. Like, you can compete in the East right now. I think we would say that the Nets and Philly and Milwaukee are 1, 2, 3. But if Boston put together a decent, trade for a couple guys that improve this team, like, it's not hard to think that Boston could be in that conversation pretty quickly.
Dude, they were Tatum's rookie year, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and were looking really good. And it, even from that year, it was like, okay, all they need to do is add one or two more guys. They started to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Didn't they make it last year? In the bubble?
Did they make it? Yeah, they did. They did. So, I mean, they should be competing every single year, though. So this year does not make sense to me that the team looks the way that it does.
It's fit, and it's, I mean, they've...
Marcus Smart being hurt, obviously,
Marcus Smart being out
as well.
is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then they...
Oh, man, if you're that dependent on a guy like Marcus Smart, which I get his value, I understand that, but...
Yeah.
This probably proves another point.
They've missed on so many late first round picks. Like you have to at least nail one of them.
Yeah.
And they've just missed and missed and missed. I mean, right now, the 4 seed in the East is 500. The 4 seed is 15-15, and that's the Indiana Pacers. Every other team from 5 down to 8 is below 500.
Man,
there are 3 teams above 500 in the East, and that's it.
That is so wild.
In the West, there are 8. The Memphis Grizzlies would be the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. They're the 9 seed, which is just absolutely wild.
How did that happen?
Wasn't this the year that we were talking about the Eastern Conference? Like, yes. Eastern Conference is pretty loaded. Like, they're gonna have, because we were talking about like who's gonna make the playoffs, and we're like, well, 1 through 7 is pretty much a lock, and you have Boston and Miami and, you know, like Orlando, who's
Boston?
Been historically in the playoffs.
Boston? Did you say Boston in a Boston accent?
Boston.
We cannot forget that this season is weird.
Okay? Weird.
Like this season is terribly weird. I mean, the Toronto Raptors are playing home games in Florida. So there are going to be so many things about this season that we're going to have to throw out. I think the Raptors are better than a 500 team. So are the Pacers. Maybe even the Hornets are. The Boston Celtics are certainly better than 15-17. The Miami Heat are better than 15-17. Yeah. We have to know that like there are so many weird things happening this year that are affecting this season. And the East is a huge window into that.
The Zards are 7-3 in their last 10. Just a heads up. They did beat the Nuggets last night. So make sure you mention that on your podcast for the weekend, okay? That's facts you're only going to get here.
Big shouts.
I can't believe. Can we talk about the ending of that game real quick? Or do you want to save it for tomorrow?
No, we can talk about it.
What happened? Just kidding. It's hot.
No, seriously, will you talk to me about it? I don't know what happened.
No, I saw that Michael Porter Jr., did you see what he said after the game? They asked him about it, and he said, you know, the three of us were out there trying to win the game. If that shot goes down, no one talks about it. And it's like, dude, no, wrong response.
Run to
here.
The rim. You get a dunk, you go to overtime.
You are the first one with Jamal Murray down the court. You run straight.
Jamal Murray
to the
just
corner.
Totally panicked.
He did.
Because he was good. He almost went up for the three, and that's what it's like. He should have. If you're gonna go up, just shoot it. And then like mid move, he passed it out to some guy. Campazzo. Campazzo, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear what Brad Beal said in the post game? He was like, I went and asked Jamal afterwards, why didn't you shoot that? Like he's like, Jamal should have shot that. Yeah. He said he probably would have made it. Yeah. He said that like on TV the post game. It
Jamal
was really
Murray,
funny.
He probably could have kept driving as well.
Yeah. Anything but what he did.
In a wide open lane.
Anything but what he did.
But I don't know why.
4-on-1 fast break in the closing minutes, down 2. And what you do is you throw the ball. Like it's they.
But
I think
why don't though? It's everyone's fault though, because there's 3 guys that run to the 3-point line instead of just cutting to the rim. No one is at the basket. So that's what I don't get either. It was just like everyone brain farted at the same time.
But also, I don't know if you saw this. Like we're not even talking about the Wizards. There were like 3 possessions in a row where Russell Westbrook, it was like he was dribbling with his hands closed. He couldn't hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
Just turned it over, just handing it to, and he, you know, played relatively well, and they were playing really well. They were up like 5 with 40 seconds left and just had turnover after turnover. It was the ugliest end of a game that I've seen in a while. It was crazy. And the Zards still won, 7-3 in the last 10. Mark it here. You heard it first right here. Jay Smith.
You've seen that. There's that guy that put like some huge bet in Vegas on the Wizards winning the championship?
Yeah, I did.
I think he knows something we don't. I think he's from the future.
No, I totally agree.
I think he's from the future, and I think he's going to win.
What if the Wizards make like just these insane trades at the trade deadline?
And become
great.
I don't
know what they could do. Just throwing a what if out there.
They can't do much.
Hey, guys.
That's what we learned from the Celtics and their massive amount of picks.
Hey, guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question.
Wait, what was the question?
Who wants to know, with the newly released schedule and recent results, when do we start to worry about not getting a top five pick?
Now.
Yeah, I mean, I think odds are that they will be in like the 7-8 range at the time of the lottery.
Oh, God.
I think that unless they're able to sell off way more than I think they can at the trade deadline, then maybe they reposition themselves to the top five range. Because right now, if they just lose like two games in a row, like they're back in top five, right?
Yeah, but say they're still 3-7 in their last 10.
Yeah, I know. It
just changes. And for me, the key is always looking at who's underneath you and who's right above you.
Exactly.
So out of all of these teams, who's trying to lose? Washington, I just said, 7-3 in the last 10.
Yeah.
Orlando, we don't know what they're doing.
They would like to win. They have a coach and an organization that would like to win.
Sacramento Kings, they're going to, at some point soon, they're going to fire Luke Walton.
Yeah.
And they're going to go on a run.
They've lost 9 in a row.
Walton? What are you laughing at, Luke?
I would say that Jay said Houston, Cleveland, Detroit, Minnesota are just going to continue to lose.
I don't know. I think as soon as Christian Wood comes back, I think you're going to see Houston level out a little bit.
Bro, I hope so.
Bro. I know. That is definitely wishful thinking, because right now their pick is protected. And the Thunder are going to need luck. And that's the same. We've been saying that from the beginning anyway. Even if they got a top three, even if they're one of the worst three teams, you have a 14% chance for the number one pick.
Yeah. Even if you're in the number one spot, you still only have a 52% chance of staying in the top four.
That's over half.
Yeah.
You just got to stay in that range.
Yeah. If you're in the fourth spot, you have a 48% chance of just staying in the top four.
I still think the Wolves actually try to want to get out of it, but I don't think they can. I mean, obviously they're 7-26.
I think they've been trying to win all year.
They have.
Yeah.
They just don't know how. They just have no idea how. And they haven't for years.
Yeah. They did finally fire Saunders. What's his name? Flipson. Doesn't matter actually anymore. But he's not a coach anymore.
Ryan?
So
Ryan. It is Ryan. Yeah.
Have some respect, Jay.
I'm so sorry.
Hey. Guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @OKCMIFT, who says, I have a job interview tomorrow for an NBA-related media job. Wow. Give me some tips, please.
Wear your favorite player's jersey. Definitely wear a basketball jersey.
Paint your face.
If you have shorts, wear it. They need to know how big of a fan you are first.
Walk in, have the warm-ups on, take the warm-ups off to sit down.
Oh, the snap pants where you just rip them off.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
These are all really, really good advice. The other, I would say, don't get a haircut right before. No, you don't know what you're going to get. Too risky. Too risky.
If you're going to do it, oh, wait, it's too late.
You should have gotten a haircut already.
Yeah,
you should have gotten a haircut about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, if not, wear a hat.
You definitely wear a hat to the interview. Definitely wear a hat. There was one more thing I thought about.
Andrew, what would you actually do to the person that's maybe seeking real advice?
Before he says that, don't sweat, because if they see you sweating under pressure, they're not going to draft you.
The other thing is trust your body. Trust your body. If your body needs to fart, let it out. If it needs to burp, let it burp.
Yep.
Okay, maybe the worst job interview advice for the last 2 minutes. I would say as much as you can, relax and just be yourself. And I think that's kind of a job interview advice, period.
Yeah. Muscle relaxers.
Overall, take as many muscle relaxes as your body will accept.
Is there part of it that isn't, and I don't know any of this, but I'm always thinking, like, is there part of it where, what do you bring that's unique to the conversation, right? Like, I think that's one of the things. And then and just to be honest about Andrew's success and kind of our success only because we've been holding on to Andrew for 10 years just work. Like, how do you convince people, or how do you at least show people that you're willing to work hard and to do what it takes to grow whatever part of that is part of what you're applying for? So I don't know. Those are also generic job interview things, but is what do you bring that's unique? And then I think on top of that is how can you show through what you've already done, how hard you're willing to work to promote the brand or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And also they probably have an idea of the type of person they want for this job. So it's not personal if you don't get the job. I'm just going to start setting you up for a letdown because that's the way I approach everything in life. But if you don't get the job, it's most likely not personal because the person hiring probably already has an idea of the person they'd like to be sitting in the chair across from them, whether that's correct or not.
That's probably true. But yeah, just do what you can to express who you are genuinely. Because I think that people...
You play guitar? Show up with a guitar.
People sing a song. That, yeah. If you can play Brain Stew on the guitar, you should show up and play
Brain Stew. If you have a really good Godzilla scream, they need to hear it.
They have to hear it.
You have no idea if they're looking for a person that has a good Godzilla scream or not. Be yourself. It's all that you can do.
Hey.
Wow.
Well, we've ensured that person is not going to get this job, but best of luck. Hey, our next Twitter question. This person's Twitter name, their name that pops up is close to what their at is, but it's not exactly, but it is Al Sexy Poopa Chesty. Which has to be said. But their at is Al Sexy Poopa Chi 1.
Is this Alex Spears alt account?
I don't know. But he has a new game. Okay. And it is who will be on the Thunder longer. We'll go one at a time.
Okay.
Shea versus Dort.
Shea.
Dort.
Okay, next. Horford versus Hill.
Horford.
Yeah.
Jay?
Same. Horford.
Next, Theo versus Poku. Oh,
Theo.
Theo.
Teo.
Theo Maldon.
Theo.
Jay?
It was Teo or who?
Poku.
Oh, man. Poku. Come on, man.
Next, Baisley versus Hami.
Baisley.
And he has a random one. Kenny Hustle versus Isaiah Robbie.
Robbie. Good Lord. Kenny Hustle. Says.
Theo Robbie. I'll take Kenny Hustle, but I don't think either of them are long-term guys.
All right, our next Twitter question comes from thanks, Al Sexy Poopachi one.
Poopachesky?
It's Alexi Poopachesky.
No, it's Al. No, that's wrong. Our next comes from at Zach Deeg, who says, SGA aside, what Thunder asset has the most value? Draft pick or player?
I would probably say these Houston draft picks probably have the most value outside of SGA.
Yeah, outside of SGA, I think you're right.
There's nothing else that has that much value outside of SGA on the roster currently.
Jay?
Well, I was just going to ask a question that I'm looking at myself. But, Andrew, off the top of your head, do you know if it doesn't convey this year, is it just moves on to next year and it's still unprotected or still protected at top four? Or is it transitioned to...
I don't remember what they do, but I don't think that that's the case with the Houston picks. I don't think that they, I don't think they roll
on
it. How much are we loving Coach Mark Degnault so far from Long Boy Shay?
That's not what it says. He says Mark Diagonal.
That's true.
Love Marky D.
Love Marky D.
Okay.
He's really great. Hey, there's a good one down here.
Okay.
Comes from at Miguel Devella 25, who wants to know, when was the last time you got snubbed in something?
Oh!
Snubbed.
Got freaking snubbed, dude.
Yesterday at the Top Shot drop.
Yeah.
Snubbed.
Yeah, I'm feeling like I'm going to get snubbed for...
I'm planning my day so that I can do the drop.
I know.
At 11, and I'm going to get snubbed.
Well, I planned my whole day yesterday around the drop.
That sucks.
And it got moved.
That really sucks.
I just want the mommies.
Hey, so that Houston pick, just I should have known this, is if it doesn't convey, then they're going to get Miami's pick this draft.
Well, I mean, yeah.
That, which that means it extinguishes the Houston pick.
That's so you, it doesn't roll.
Thunder get the best one between the two. Snubbed thing, we need them to be 5 through 10.
I have a question. Does getting snubbed think like you're expecting to get this and you don't?
Yeah.
Or is it that you? It's like, oh, I have a chance and then
I have a chance.
Oh, okay. Well, then I have a snubbing. Okay. I applied for a job with the Thunder in 2013, 14 maybe?
Snubbed.
Something like that. Got totally snubbed.
What's
head,
the job?
Head storm chaser.
It was head storm chaser. They asked me to dance. I could not dance.
It was DJ Boom.
Yes. I didn't go into the office. I was actually in New Zealand, and so I was doing like a video conference over the on the internet. This is very pre-Zoom, but Skype was around, so we Skyped. I thought the interview went well. I guess it didn't.
What was the job?
I don't even remember. I don't. I have no idea.
Jay's got to go, guys.
Oh, Jay, I'm on.
Jay, I hope you have a great day.
Hey, you guys as well. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, good luck on those mommies.
Hey,
good
luck, Jay. Give your pelvic floor a little tap. Keep that thing tight.
I don't know what he just said.
You know, this Macy Gray song, great karaoke song.
I got it from your list.
It's good. It's good. Andrew, do you see one that you like?
The Elephant King asks, how would Chris Fisher pronounce your full name?
Taylor Dickerson.
I like that.
Shea Gilgis.
I don't think I've told this story on the pod.
What?
But I need to. I was coaching my middle son's basketball team, and there was a kid on the team that said he loved the Thunder. And I said, great, who is your favorite Thunder player? And he said, my favorite Thunder player is Shea Gilgis.
Oh, no.
And I said, you are watching the TV broadcast.
You
have been ruined by Chris Fisher.
Why does
Because he calls him Shea Gilgis. And he calls him, he's this kid, this poor child has been led astray and is calling him Shea Gilgis.
So here's my question about this whole thing. I'm glad we can talk about this. Why isn't the Thunder not watching the broadcast?
They are, without a doubt.
Okay, so why is he still saying Shea Gilgis?
It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's an unsolved mystery.
Why is no one correcting Chris Fisher?
Here's the thing.
Chris Fisher.
Once he starts, he's never going to fix it. That's like, because I, meet with people and I have, I'm seeing their names for the first time and I'm talking to them on the phone.
Yeah.
And when I do it, I say, okay, this is how I'm pronouncing your name. If this is wrong, you have to tell me right now, because if you do not correct me, I will get it wrong
forever.
for the entirety of our relationship.
Yeah.
I'll never get it correct. That's why these names that I read, I will never get them right.
That's why your last girlfriend broke up with you as well, because you never called her.
Got her name wrong every time.
But it's also kind of like, I've had people in my life that just like, I think they think my name is Andy. And so they call me Andy.
Yeah.
And then if I don't correct them the first time, I'll never correct them ever in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Does anyone think your name is actually Boobtown from this, from us?
Not yet, but I'm hoping to get there someday.
Right. So we want to say, are we miffed and are we peeved?
Yeah, I don't want them to be. I only have a certain amount of drops. I
just miffed and peeved.
Chili.
I'm a miffed. I'm everything, today. Everything's coming up, L-Man.
That's true.
I'm getting a little vaccine today.
That's great.
Because last week we talked about favorite phrases, right?
Yeah.
So give an update on that one phrase. When you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
I'm hot, baby.
Luke has been really hot this last week.
I'll tell you what.
This is your week.
I got a little vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I at the same time as my vaccine is the drop, which means I'm probably gonna get it.
Oh yeah, because you're hot.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got six mommies in my future, and then and then just things are going well. Everything's coming up, L-Man.
There were some other things that were going well for you, but
I choose not to share this at the podcast.
Oh, okay. pelvic floor situation.
my pelvic floor is
it's shot.
A plus.
It's rock solid right now.
You miffed, Tayshaun?
Yeah, I was a little miffed. So Dave DeFore tweeted after the Dort game winner, this Thunder team is so GD fun or something like that. I love this team.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, like, this is the they're just now fun. They're just now fun. They have not been fun. And I don't appreciate the set, like the national people trying to say they've been fun all year. They just haven't. I mean, I'm glad they're fun now.
You know what, Taylor? Sometimes it's okay to admit that you're wrong.
They were not fun. Guys, don't trick yourself into thinking that this is how it's been the whole season. Shea was not scoring 40 points. What did I say needed to happen for them to be fun? Exactly what's happening.
Isaiah Roby broke an All-Star's ankles.
One thing.
There are more fun things than that. Dort, remember Dort was on his hot three-point streak?
He was.
Was that not fun?
Yeah, there was a funny question from an old doc that I was mentioning earlier that was Penny at Bangelo asking, when will we accept that Dort is a good shooter? And I thought that was funny now because been a little bit worse lately until that game.
You know what? I'm proud of him. He has kept shooting.
He has kept shooting.
And that's all I needed to see. I don't care if they go down.
He's staying above 30%.
It's great. So. Yeah, he shot really well the other night. Thanks for listening to our show. Hope you guys have a great, great weekend. Be sure to retweet our podcast and share it with other people. That's how this thing continues to get around. So hope you guys have just a wonderful, wonderful day. And we'll talk to you guys again on Monday.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.